I want you to turn to Exodus chapter 15 this evening, and I want to encourage you tonight and challenge you tonight. And Exodus chapter 15, and we'll just read the first verse to begin with, and then we'll look into it. But Exodus 15, then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. He hath triumphed gloriously. Amen? I like that phrase, don't you? That's good. Okay. I like that phrase. All right. Amen? All right. He hath triumphed gloriously. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your word tonight, Lord. Pray that you just encourage our hearts and even challenge our faith this evening. And we'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' precious name. Amen. You know, we're told, and even as we sung tonight about just reaching the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ, in Mark chapter 16 and verse 15, Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, right? In Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, we're told you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, right? In Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, uttermost parts of the earth. But you know what Jesus never said? He never said it's going to be easy. He never said it's going to be without conflict. In fact, you look through the Bible, and anytime God is doing a great work, there's a great conflict. Paul writes to the Thessalonian church in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, and he says, I came unto you with the gospel in much contention. And if we think that the work of God is just going to go smoothly, and without challenges, without difficulties, boy, we're living in a cloud, amen? And yet, what we need to think about is chapter 15 and verse 1, that the Lord triumphs gloriously because it's his work. Amen? It's his work. It's not our work, it's his work. And that's the difference. And that's why Paul's perspective is so different, because Paul says, I'm a servant. Right? I'm a servant. If you think you're more than that, well, you're going to fall flat on your face. But when you realize you're a servant and that it's the work of the master, it all goes back to the master. Amen? It's his work. It's his purpose. It's his plan. It's his name. It's all about him. And I want us to see three things tonight in Exodus 15. Exodus 15. I want us to first remember. And these are three C's, by the way. Let me give them to you so I can forget about them. All right? Number one is we need to be conscious of the battle. We need to be conscious of the battle. If we don't realize there's a battle, then you know what? We're going to be defeated. Anybody that watched football last night saw that very clear. Right? Patriots showed up, and I don't know what they were thinking, but they didn't come to fight. Right? They just walked onto that field and they got tromped on. I mean, they got embarrassed. You know why? Because the Buffalo Bills came to battle. And the Patriots, I don't know what they were thinking. They thought, you know, well, we've done this so many times that, you know, it's just going to happen. Well, it didn't just happen. In fact, they failed miserably, right? It's good to be a Bucks fan tonight. Anyways, number two. You can smile once in a while. Just laugh at one of my jokes and humor me, okay? Number two, not only be conscious of the battle, but confident in the Lord. Confident in who? The Lord. Not you and me. Confident in the Lord. Just as if you're not conscious of the battle, you're going to fall flat on your face. If you're not conscious and confident in the Lord, and your confidence is placed somewhere else, you're going to fall flat on your face and be defeated too. And number three, we need to be challenged in our faith. We need to be challenged in our faith. Because you know what? If we're not challenged in our faith, we're not even going to set out to do anything. Right? You have not because you ask not. And if you don't put your foot in the water, if you don't lift up the rod like Moses, if you don't arise and build, if you don't go forth, right? You don't get anything, right? Amen? And so we need to be conscious of the battle, confident in our word, challenging our faith. All right, let's pray and go home. No, let's just look at this, okay? All right, number one, conscious of the battle. I want you to look at verse Exodus 15 and look what it says. Verse 2, the Lord is my strength and song. He has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will prepare an habitation. My father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. Pharaoh's chariots. Thank you. Pharaoh's chariots, okay, and his host hath he cast into the sea. His chosen captains also are drowned in the Red Sea. The depths have covered them. They sank into the bottom as a stone. Thy right hand, O Lord, has become glorious in power. Thy right hand, O Lord, hath dashed in pieces the enemy. And in the greatness of thine excellency, thou hast overthrown them that rose up against thee. Thou sendest forth thy wrath, which consumed them as the stubble. And with a blast of thy nostrils, the waters were gathered together. The flood stood upright as a heap, and the depths were congealed in the heart of the sea. The enemy said, I will pursue, I will overtake, I will divide the spoil. My lust shall be satisfied upon them. I will draw my sword, my hand shall destroy them. You know, first of all, when we think of the battle, there's a foe. Look at verse number 9. That's why I read all the way down through there. It says, the enemy hath said. Sometimes we forget that there's an enemy opposing us, right? What did Peter write? Peter write, be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary, the devil, walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And the enemy, listen, if all you see in Exodus 15 is Pharaoh and his chariots, right? Or his host, or the captains, his chosen captains, if that's all you see in this account, you're missing it, because the enemy is greater. Those are the people that the enemy is using. The enemy is Satan. The enemy is the devil. He uses Pharaoh. He uses his choice captains. He uses the host, but the enemy is the devil. And the devil is still working to defeat God's work. He's still at it. He is still trying every way he can. But I want you to know something else in here, because sometimes we can get our focus a little skewed as well. Because ultimately, when we think of the battle, yes, we think of the enemy, but here's something we need to also realize, and it's in verse number 7. And in the greatness of thine excellency, thou hast overthrown them that rose up against thee. Did you catch that? Israel could have said, hey, listen, the enemy attacked us. The enemy was against us. The enemy was fighting us. And anytime you see a conquest in the Bible of the Lord, you see like David, when he realized, he said, listen, Goliath isn't fighting against me. Goliath is fighting against God, right? And we need to realize that the battle that we're in, the conflict that we're in, the battle is between the devil and God. And he's fighting against God. The enemy is fighting against God. Think about that. Right there, it makes it exciting, because it's a greater battle. See, once again, it goes back to that phrase, I'm just a servant. I'm just a private in the army. Amen? I'm just a servant. I'm just one of, I don't know how many servants in the army. I don't know how big the host of God is on this earth. I don't know how many Christians there are, but I know this. I'm just one in a multitude of God's army. And the enemy is fighting against God. So number one, we need to be conscious of the battle. But we need to be confident, number two, in the Lord. You know, we talk about all the names of God, right? Check this out. Look at verse number 3. The Lord is a man of war. Boy, we don't speak much on that one, do we? The Lord is a man of war. In other words, the Lord's saying, hey, listen, you want a battle? Okay, we'll have a battle. Right? The Lord isn't going over to the corner and said, oh, no! He said, no, you want to fight? Okay, we'll fight. You want a battle, Satan? We're going to have a battle. Step into the ring. Right? That's what he says. The Lord is a man of war. Think about that. My God is not some coward sitting in the corner. My God is a conqueror. And he says, I am a man of war, and this enemy has raised up against me, against my name, against my purpose, against my people, against my program, against my plan, and against any other P that the pastor can think of that fits into the message. He says, but I am a man of war. And you know what? Does that give you confidence or what? Right? That gives me confidence that, number one, the battle is the Lord's. And number two, God says, you want a battle? We're going to battle. Listen, this is why. Christians, why do we try to fight against the Lord in our own lives? Right? Why do we battle against the Lord? You can't win. I can't win. The devil can't win. The enemy can't win. No one can win against the Lord. Right? And in the context of this, listen, You go over to the New Testament. Look at how many conflicts and how many battles Paul faced as he went forth with the gospel. Everywhere he turned, every time he walked into a city, every time he went to a new place, man, there's a conflict. And guess what? Every time he came out the winner, right? Every time. Was it easy? No. Was it challenging? Yes. Was it difficult? Yes. Did it hurt? Yes. Did it wear him out? Yes. But every time, God wins. Every time. God has never lost a battle and never will lose a battle. Because he's God. Right? Not only is he a man of war, but he is a mighty man of war. Right? Look at verse number 3. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. And now you just look, and it starts talking about how mighty our God is and what he did. And, you know, a lot of time taken in Exodus 15 to describe how powerfully and mightily and utterly something God crushed the enemy. Right? Look at what he says. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. Pharaoh's chariots and his host hath he cast into the sea. His chosen captains also are drowned in the Red Sea. The depths have covered them. They sank into the bottom as a stone. Thy right hand, O Lord, is become glorious in power. Thy right hand, O Lord, hath dashed in pieces the enemy. Boy, I tell you what, I am glad I am on God's side. Amen. I am glad I am a servant of the Most High God. I am glad I am not fighting against God. Because you know what? When you fight against God, boy, you are in for a heap of trouble. And you aren't going to win. Look at, he says, he drowned him in the Red Sea. The depths have covered him. They sank into the bottom of the stone. Look at verse 7. In the greatness of thine excellency, thou hast overthrown them that rose up against thee. Thou sentest forth thy wrath, which consumed them as stubble. With a blast of thy nostrils, the waters were gathered together. The flood stood upright as a heap. The depths were congealed in the heart of the sea. The enemy said, oh, I will pursue, I will overtake, I will divide the spoil. My lust shall be satisfied upon them. I will draw my sword, my hand shall destroy them. And just like it says in Psalm chapter 2, and the Lord said, oh yeah, and I'll have you in derision. Right? The Lord says, try it. Go ahead, try it. Right? Thou didst blow with thy wind, the sea covered them. They sank as lead in the mighty waters. Boy, I like reading that. It's encouraging to read that. You know that? It's encouraging to read that. to read about what God does when someone stands up to fight against him and what he is able to do. I mean, he doesn't just win by a little margin. No, I mean, they sank as lead in the mighty waters. That's our God, folks. And so number two, we need to be confident in the Lord, that he is a man of war. When the enemy rises up to battle, listen, God doesn't fall asleep. He just gets to the battle and takes care of it, right? And wins every time. And so number two, we need to be confident in the Lord. Number three, we need to be challenged in our faith, though. And here's what I like. You go down to verse number 11. Verse number 11. This is verse number 11 through verse number 17. First of all, who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders? Thou stretched out thy right hand, the earth swallowed them. Thou in thy mercy hast led forth the people which thou hast redeemed. Thou hast guided them in thy strength unto thy holy habitation. You know, the first thing I see here is they were challenging their faith to exalt God for who he was. And boy, we need to exalt God and just lift up the name of God and the power of God and the might of God and the greatness of God. We need to encourage one another that there is no one like unto our God, that our God is able. Because if we don't do that, we lack faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And listen, there's verses like this all throughout the Bible, through the Psalms and through the prophets and in the New Testament. Who is like unto thee, O Lord? Do as well if we just get up every day and quote that and say, who is like unto my God? No one. My God is greater than all. Right? My God is God. I don't know what God you're trusting in, but I know this. My God is the all-powerful God, the almighty God, the God that can do wonders because he is great and wonderful and powerful. Boy, I tell you what, when I start telling myself, I just start reminding myself of that, I get fired up because you know what? It challenges me. It challenges me in this regard. It gets me thinking, if God can do that, and he has, and if God can do that, and he has, if God can do that, then he has, then what else can he do, right? What else can he do? What more can he do? And this is where it goes. Look at the challenge to their faith. Look at their faith now in verse number 14. Because they lifted up the name of God, they exalted the name of God for what he had done, and they started thinking about what's coming. They were going to face a lot of enemies when they got to the promised land, weren't they? A lot of nations, a lot of places they had to conquer. But look at what they said in chapter 15 and verse 14. The people shall fear and be afraid. They said, we're going to face some enemies. And you know what? They're going to be afraid. They're going to be afraid of God. I'll never forget the time that I was up in Willimantic and I walked around the corner because I asked the Lord who he wanted me to talk to, and that drug dealer was sitting on the front porch with a group around him. And when I get up and just told him I was a chaplain of West Avenue here to preach the gospel, the guy got up and went to his house. And the people said, he's afraid. I said, what's he afraid of? And the lady said, he's afraid of you. He wasn't afraid of me. He was afraid of the Spirit of God. He was afraid of the Spirit of God. And he turned and walked in the house. You know, I've seen more. One time I was down in Norwich. I walked down into Norwich one night. It was about 8 o'clock on a Sunday night. And I just said to Allison, I'm going downtown to witness for a little bit. Long time ago. So I walked down and it was back when there was a subway on the corner down by the used to be Woolworths down there, whatever. And so I walked down. There was a motorcycle gang standing out in front. It's a Sunday night. I'm all by myself. And I just walked down, and I walked up to this group of guys, and they got their bikes and everything else. And I started to give out a tract to this guy. The leader of the gang, he grabbed the tract, and he says, what are you doing? I said, I'm giving these guys a tract. And he said, well, you can't do that. And I said, oh, yes, I can. I said, God sent me down here to give these guys a track, so I'm going to give them a gospel track. You know what the guy said? He grabbed the pack from my hand. He says, oh, let me give them out. And the captain of or whatever he was, the leader of the gang, he starts handing out the gospel tracts to everybody. I thanked the guy for helping me. And then I told him, I said, by the way, if you ever want to come out to Lakes Palm Baptist Church, there's a parking spot right by the front door for your motorcycle. Just pull up by the front door and come in, and I got a seat down front for you. And he says, you would really have me in your church? I said, by all means, I'd have you in my church. But you know, listen, folks, we lack faith. We lack a lot of faith. Because you know, when you walk in the power and the Spirit of God, people know it, they see it, and they fear God. They fear God. When you walk trembling, they don't see it. But when you walk in the power of the Spirit of God to proclaim the name of God because you care about the souls of men, they see it. And that's what Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, ye shall receive power. They don't need to see a miracle. They don't need to see you do some miracle. They don't need to see you, you know, jabber and lift up your hands and do some miracle. They just need to see you walking in the Spirit of God. And they see it and they fear. And look at what it says in verse 15. The dukes of Edom shall be amazed. The mighty men of Moab, trembling, shall take hold upon them. All the inhabitants of Canaan shall melt away. Fear and dread shall fall upon them. I need speech therapy in a minute here. By the greatness of thine arm, they shall be as still as a stone. How long? Till thy people pass over, O Lord. Till the people pass over, which thou hast purchased, thou shalt bring them in and plant them in the mountain of thine inheritance, in the place, O Lord, which thou hast made for thee to dwell in, the sanctuary of the Lord, which thy hands have established. And they said, you know what? They said, Lord, we're going to go by faith. And you're going to go ahead of us. And we know that and believe it. And you're going to put fear in the hearts of these people until you bring us in. Until you bring us in and plant us in the mountain of your inheritance, in the place which you have made for thee to dwell in, thy sanctuary. They're saying, Lord, we've seen what you have done. We know what you can do. And we believe that you will do as you are able to do, and you will accomplish your purpose. You will accomplish your purpose. And that's the truth of it, folks. God has a purpose, and he is going to accomplish his purpose. And there is no person on earth that can stop God's purpose from being done and fulfilled. And you know what? We just need to walk by faith. Yeah, there's a battle. Of course there's a battle. The last 2 years has been a battle, right? It's been a battle. Satan has tried to discourage and defeat and distract and to twist it. I mean, he's thrown everything but the kitchen sink, right? But guess what? We're still here. And we're still going on. And God is showing that he's got great things to do in 2022. And I tell you what, you know, In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, Paul wrote and he says, you know, we brought the gospel in much contention. But in 1 chapter 1, he says the gospel also came in much power. And the power of God in the gospel is greater than the contention of the enemy against the gospel. Amen? You know, let me just close with this. I'm praying that let me just go. Pensacola used to have this phrase, right? And you guys go to school. You remember when the rep used to come? And what would he say? Catch the spirit, right? Catch the spirit. And you guys would kind of chuckle. And as teenagers, you say, oh, have we caught the spirit? Have we caught the spirit? Well, you know what? I hope you do catch the spirit. Not the spirit of Pensacola, but the spirit of what God is planning to do and what God is doing and what God is going to do. Amen? I pray that you catch the fire and that we get on flame, we get a flame or on fire for God, and get excited about what God is going to do, what God is going to do, because I know in this year, God is going to do some great and mighty things, I'm just looking forward to it, excited about it, I actually I'm preaching out of a new Bible for this year. I got a new Bible out of the box, I know the Bible is the same; it hasn't changed. But you know what? I took my Bible that I used from about 2019 to 2021, and I said, you know what? I'm sticking that one in the box. I'll give it to someone. Someone will need it somewhere. But I said, you know what, Lord? We're in a new year, and I want a new Bible that's plain and fresh, this is the 2022 version, okay? And it's the God is great version, okay? The God is mighty version, the gospel surge version, the looking for great things version. And so I just said, you know what, Lord? That Bible, you brought me through the storm with it. This Bible, we're going to see the promised land with it. Amen. So I it's brand new out of the box. Just picked it up the other day, and I said, Lord, we're going to expect mighty things through the preaching of this word this year. Amen. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your word tonight. Lord, I pray that our hearts have been encouraged in the mighty person of our God. Lord, great is our God and greatly to be praised. Who is like unto our God? And Lord, yes, there's a battle. Yes, there's an enemy. But the enemy is weak and feeble, and our God is great and mighty. And may we go forward in the strength of the Lord by faith to see the victory that you can give in this year for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.